But I want to tell you, we need to move to that place that you and I are connected to the vine, that we are with him, remaining in him, being with him, so that we can be and get his heart. And this morning, we're going to stop and we're going to look at the vine. So John 15 verse 1, again, Jesus started and he says, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. So remember the background. Okay, it was the Last Supper. They're done with that, and Jesus is busy walking with his disciples, knowing in the back of his head that actually he's going to be betrayed by who? Judas. Remember, Judas, in the vicinity of God, Jesus, but not connected. There's your example right there. It's amazing for me, and I've said it a couple of times from here, that somebody was with Jesus, walking with him, but he was not connected to him. That's why I've said to so many of us that you and I can come to church, we can be part of a life group, but we're not connected. Friends, and I've said it, hey, you're not going to sleep in a garage and call yourself a car. You can't just say, I'm a Christian because I'm coming to church. I'm going to life group. It is when you remain in him, when you're connected to him, that is when you say, Lord, you are my everything. That's when it changes. Okay. Quick mic change. If you're quite animated, the hand mic. So I love this a lot more because then I can slap and do everything in front here. So remember, Jesus is busy walking. And he has told his disciples, you can just look in John 14, verse 1 to 4, do not let your hearts be troubled. Speaking to his disciples, you believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have not told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? Friends, just pause there for a second. For us that are connected and plugged in, I want to tell you what, don't make this your permanent home. Please don't make this everything. Jesus says, I'm getting a room ready for you. That is something to rejoice about. I know I've done plenty of memorials in my life. And the ones that did not connect with him, yes, it is rough. But for those who served him, who was connected to him, when that time comes, I tell you what, you mourn, but you celebrate because they're going to that room that God has prepared for them. Okay, so many of you thought you're getting a mansion. No, you're getting a room. Okay. That's theology for a very different story. I'm not going in that one. If you go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. So Jesus is creating this beautiful, beautiful picture as he's walking through these grapevines. And he said to them, remember, I'm telling you that I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm not going to be with you forever. And they had to realize that Jesus is physically not going to walk with them anymore. But there's a spiritual aspect that he says, even though I'm gone, I want you to remain in me. I need you to stay connected. And he uses this picture of a grapevine. And he says, even though I'm physically not with you, I am that vine and you are the branches. You need to stay connected to me. And the disciples had to make a change in their hearts. For me and you, we didn't have Jesus physically walking with us. So for us, it's a different picture. We understand reading it. But for them, they had to grasp, look, we've dedicated our lives. We left our boats. We left our jobs and we walked with you. Now you're telling me you're not going to be here anymore. Friends, it's got a shift in their hearts that they had to realize that even though he's gone, they're going to be connected to him. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I also preferred and I would have loved if Jesus could be physically here. Sometimes there are days that you just go, Lord, please just show yourself to me because I'm struggling. I'm going through things. Please just reveal yourself to me. And it is funny that when you say that and you go out to nature, he reveals himself to us. I don't know about you, but when I drive through the Drakensberg and I look at the mountains, I just see God's hand. I just see his majestic ways of doing things. When we look at the ocean, when we look at the skies, I can't say when we look at the power station behind us because that's not his handwork. It's difficult in Gauteng, hey? But I tell you what, God is in everything that we do. He is present. He is there. So, Jesus is saying that he is the true vine. You got to ask yourself, why is he saying that? Because in other words, there's also a false vine. But Jesus is saying this, and for the context of the disciples, they understood exactly what Jesus said. Psalm 80, verse 8 to 9 says, "You transplanted a vine from Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it. You cleared the ground for it, and it took root and filled the land." Jesus is saying that he is the true vine. When the disciples hear this, they remember this song, because it was spoken over Israel, saying that you will be a vine that I take out of Egypt and I plant you so that you can bear fruit. Also in Isaiah 5 verse 1 to 2, it says, "I will sing for the one I love, a song about his vineyard. My loved one had a vineyard on a fertile hillside. He dug it up and cleared it of its stones and planted it with the choicest vines. He built a watchtower in it and cut out a winepress as well. Then he looked for the crop of grapes, but it yielded only bad fruit." Friends, this is God singing over the nation of Israel, saying that I took you out and I made you my vine, but when he looked for the fruit, there was nothing. Okay. And I want to tell you, just in reference for that, God is always looking at me and you and is saying, where is that fruit? And you and I understand, we'll get to it next week, that you and I can only bear fruit once we remain in the vine. But the disciples knew exactly what Jesus was talking about when he said that he is the true vine, referring to them as the vine. And he says, because of that, I'm standing before you and I am the true vine. Can I quickly pause here? I want to say, there is so many preachers, TikTok videos, Instagram posts that are declaring a false vine. So many. And you and I need to be very careful. Because Jesus, even when we did Higher Ground, remember he says there's a good prophet and there's a bad prophet. There's one that declares something and there's one that declares an absolute rubbish, if I can put it in a nice theological word for you. Okay. Friends, there's a false vine as well. There's people that will teach us that you and I are fully in control and he is like this fairy in the sky that comes and just bless me and you so that you and I can have this amazing life. I'm telling you, the truth is God says, I will give you life in abundance. But he also says the hardship that you go through, know that I've been through it myself. And I think sometimes when we listen to the preachers that just want to give you prosperity and blessing and you can do everything and you just got to get up and name it and claim it, you know, I got to understand that when you go through those things, you're saying, God, where are you in it? God says, no, my friend, take up your cross and walk with me. That is something that you and I have to bear, something that we pick up. And we don't like to hear those things because we just want to hear, it's all going to be okay. Let me just tickle your ears, give you some goosies, walk out here, and I feel happy about myself. But I want to tell you, being a Christian does not mean life will be smooth sailing. It means there's a real enemy that's looking at you and saying, I don't like what's inside of you. I don't like where you're going because I've been there, I've messed it up, and I don't want you to go there. That is the real enemy, friends. And so many people will come and just make us feel good about ourselves. Even in Philippians 2 verse 12, it says, "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to working out your salvation." You got saved. That is the miracle that happens. But work on that salvation. I don't know about you, but there are some Monday mornings that I get up and I don't feel saved. There's things in my life that happens. There are instances that you go, Lord, am I really saved? Am I really saved? You know, you and your wife have this amazing argument. And you go, is she really saved? It's impossible. My teenage daughters, Lord, I don't know sometimes. No, they're always saved, don't worry. But you ask these questions. And Paul is teaching us, and he says through the book of Philippians, work out that salvation. Friends, it's not just that pie in the sky. There's a one touch, and everything's fine. Every single day, you've got to work on your salvation. Every day, you've got to walk this road. Every day, you've got to make a decision to say, I'm going to pick up this cross, and I'm going to walk, and I'm going to do what God has called me to do. I love that scripture. It says, my burden and my yoke is easy and light. But it doesn't mean it's not there. And when we preach this gospel, we just say there's nothing there. He lifts everything up. No, no, my friends, it is still there, but it's light and it's easy to carry. So coming back to my gardening skills, remember I told you guys I'm this amazing gardener that I even kill a cactus. It happened this week. There's my wife. I killed it. In my little office, I've got this little thing with a little cactus in it. It's dead. I killed it. Me, DJ. So don't ever invite me for a gardening party. Okay. I'll start a fire. I'll bribe the meat. I'm not in your garden. Please don't do that to me. What does a vine do? If you look at a vine, what does it do? So here's just some things that DJ is putting out there. Okay, so the first thing is a vine is rooted and is standing secure and stable. That vine is there and it is standing. Storms come, everything comes. That vine stands strong, secure, and stable. So security, Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are. Friends, this vine is a secure place. When you go through your things, run to this vine. He is our security. Psalm 46 verse 1, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. That is this vine. That is who he is. And then he brings stability. Hey, one thing that you ask anybody that's going into a relationship, that's looking for marriage, and the two things that they've asked is stability and security. That's what I want. Okay, there's lots of money and all those things that some people want as well. But the main things in a relationship is I want stability and security. Friends, I want to tell you the vine produces stability and security. That is what Jesus brings to me and to you. Proverbs 10:25. When the whirlwind passes, the wicked is no more. But the righteous have an everlasting foundation. An everlasting foundation. And then we touched on this in Matthew 7:24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, puts them into practice, is like a wise man who builds his house on the, who's that rock? Jesus Christ. The vine. The true vine. When the storm comes, the man that built his house on the sand, it demolished. But the guy who builds his house on the rock, that house stood forever and ever. I want to tell you, when you and I build on Jesus Christ, you will remain. There will be that security. There will be that steadfastness. Everything around us will change, friends. Everything will change. But you and I have security and stability. I love this verse, Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, he's the same today, and he's the same tomorrow. That is that security and the stability that you and I have. I know we go through emotions, eh? We go through our things. And sometimes you think, yes, Lord, is this the same person I got married to? When you wake up that next morning and they didn't have coffee. You're like, Lord, is this? Because there's that instability when there's no coffee in, you know? Yeah, some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. There's like that twitch. You're like, you just bring the coffee. I'm not talking about my wife. I'm talking about myself. Okay. I'm that person. I just need coffee. And you're like, but you know what? When you and I go to the vine, when you and I spend time this morning in his presence, when you drive in your car tomorrow, he says, I am the same yesterday, I'm the same today, I'm the same tomorrow. There's that stability, friends. There's that constant character of Jesus Christ. When we sing about him as the way maker, he doesn't change his mind tomorrow and say, nah. He says, I'm the same yesterday, I'm the same today, and I'm the same tomorrow. Stability and security. He is our rock and our firm foundation. And then, second thing that a vine does, the vine takes water and nutrients from the ground to the branches to help them produce fruit. So as this vine is rooted in the ground, it takes water and nutrients from there to the branches, and that helps it bear fruit. John 4, verse 13 to 14, Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water that I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become that spring of water welling up to eternal life. John 7, verse 37. On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus said in a loud voice, let anyone who's thirsty come and drink. I don't know about you, Have you ever like ran 5 kilometers? Neither did I, but I'm just asking. Joking, I have before, when I was smaller, very long ago. Only time I run now is when I see my meat is burning on the braai, then I run. Have you ever run like around and you get thirsty? It's funny, hey, coffee doesn't quench that thirst. It's like you like your fizzy bubbles, Coke. It doesn't, but when you drink that water, it's true, hey. When it's getting warmer, I can't use that example today because we all have jackets on. But when it's a warm summer's day, you just long for that ice cold water. I know some of you want something other than ice cold water, but ice cold water, it just quenches that thirst. And it's amazing that Jesus says, you will always be thirsty, you'll always want more. But once you drink of me, you will never, ever thirst again. He says, I take water and I give that water to you. And once you have that water, you are filled. And he says, you and I become like a well that's full of it. And his water flows through me and you. That wherever you and I go, the Spirit of God just flows through and in our lives. Friends, that is what Jesus does. He brings us that water. John 6:35, Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Psalm 55:22. Cast your cares on the Lord, for he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. Everything comes from Jesus. Everything. Everything you and I need, he says, I am giving it to you. When that vine is planted, and he looks at me and he says, I will give you the water, and I'll give you the bread of life. Just have it from me. And it's when you and I remain in him, when we stand in him, when we keep close to him, when we live with him, and we live in him, that he gives us that water, and he gives us that bread. John 15, verse 5 to 6. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. And then I've underlined this. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. I know, speaking to a lot of you, and I'm talking to myself, I've tried. I've tried and do things on my own way. I've failed miserably. I have tried doing things. I've tried making plans. I've tried setting my future, my course in line of what I wanted. But I tell you, apart from him, I can't do anything. Friends, you and I are absolutely a dead branch lying on the floor if you are not connected to him. And some of us feel like that. Some of us feel like a dry out thing that is just lying there. Thing is not the right word. Okay, a branch. A dead branch just lying there. I've never in my life walked past a grapevine and just saw a branch lying there and all of a sudden grape comes out of it. I've never seen that. I want to tell you, it's also not going to happen. That thing needs to be rooted in the vine. It needs to be in Jesus. And when it's in Jesus, the bread and the water that it needs, it gets from that vine. Everything that you need, friends, he says, I've got it for you. I haven't got that scripture yet. But remember when he says that you and I are always worrying about stuff. He says, why are you worrying? I look after the birds. I clothe the fields. How much more will I not look after you? Friends, I want to tell you, this vine will look after his branches. This vine will make sure that you have everything that you need in life. But you've got to remain in him. You've got to be steadfast, standing in him. And then the last thing, this vine, if you look at this picture, stands in the center. Stands strong in the center. Everything around it, that vine is the center. Colossians 1, verse 16 to 17 says, for in him things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things are held together. Friends, this vine, Jesus, is the center of everything. He says, everything that's created, I am the center. I'm in the middle of this. Ephesians 1, 22, 23. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be the over everything of the church, which is the body, the fullness of him who fulfills everything in the way. It says, I am the head. I am the center. I am in charge. I am the one that it's all about. It's all about Jesus. You know, in Revelation, we see the picture of these heavenly beings just walking around that throne. And every time they see him, they just fall flat and they say, holy, holy, holy. Friends, he is in the center on that throne. And my question to you is Jesus the center of your life? Is he in the center of your life? Friends, when we look at it, is Jesus your fortress that you run to? Is he the one that you go to? Or is he the second thing that you go to? Are you running to your finances first? Are you running to people to ask questions first? Or do you run to him first? That is a question you and I have to ask. Then is Jesus the bread and the water that you and I drink and eat? And is Jesus the center of your life? That is what this vine is, and that's what he does. That is who he is. He's our security. He's our stability. He's our bread. He's our water. And then he is our center. I want to end with this. Jesus started off and he says, I am the true vine. And it's amazing in the book of John, there is actually 7 I am statements. And I'm just going to read them to you. John 6:35, Jesus declares, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger. Whoever believes in me will never thirst. We read that, eh? It's funny that this is just after he fed the 5,000. So even giving them physical food, he says, I want to tell you that after this, you'll be hungry again. But I am the bread of life. Once you take of me, you will never be hungry ever again. And then in John 8:12, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have light forever. Third one, John 10:7. Therefore, Jesus said again, very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. John 10:11, same language here. I am the good shepherd. Hope City, he is our good shepherd. As we are standing before you and we know the task that God's given us to elder you, I just realized this. My time is up, I have to go. Oh, sorry, guys. We'll carry on next week. Being an elder also means that I'm a sheep because he is the good shepherd. If I do not allow him to lead me, how can I ever think that any of you will take any note of what I'm trying to tell you? He is the good shepherd. I want to tell you this morning, he is a good shepherd. Number next. I don't know where I am. John 11:25, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. It is very funny that this, he also said straight after he rose Lazarus from the dead. I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus doesn't just talk, hey? He does it as well. It's amazing. And in John 14:16, Jesus answered, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus says here that he is not just a way among many gods, but he is the only way. And then the last one, John 15:1, I am the true vine. 7 I am statements about this vine, about Jesus Christ, about who he is. I am the true vine. Friends, is he your fortress? Is he your bread and your water? Is he your center? Please stand with me. I don't know. Can we sing the song that you led for us, Lord? Is that okay? That second one. Because in there, it says exactly that. That, Lord, we are coming to you, even not to get anything from you. We just want to get to you. And friends, where you are, I'm not going to call you to the front this morning. Can we just worship this song? And can you truly just make Jesus again the center of your life? And if he's not, that you would do that this morning. That you would just say, Lord, I just want to declare you as Lord and Savior of my life. I want to make you the center of my life. And even if you're here this morning and you have never surrendered your life to him, you've never submitted to him, you've never made him Lord and Savior, afterwards, you've seen Vas, myself, my wife is here, please come to us. because we would love to pray with you. We would love to pray with you. But I want us to just minister this song, and then we will end the meeting. But where you are, can we just, in His presence now, just say, Lord, I'm sorry if I make you the second thing that I go to. I'm sorry that sometimes I feel like I need to take worldly things to quench this thirst. Sometimes I look at relationships. Friends, and it's not wrong, please. But hear me out. Only Jesus will quench your thirst. Only Jesus will fill up that hunger in your life. As we worship, make Him the center of your lives. Let's worship.